To all of our Guru Varga, our disciplined succession of self-realized souls, and all the assembled devotees. So in the last few days, we've been discussing Nam Tattva, the glories of the holy name, and Srila Gurudev and our Shastra's recommendations, our Acharya's recommendations for meditations while chanting the holy name. We discussed how Srila Gurudev shared with us that while chanting, we can and do well to remember the songs in the songbook, the Mangalacharana prayers in the songbook, the songs of other songbooks like Gita Mala, Sharanagati, Prarthana, by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, and also geets like Venu Geet, Gopi Geet, prayers to the holy name, like Shikshastikam, instructions to the mind, which is the sweetened version of beating the mind 100 times with a shoe and 1,000 times with a broomstick, in the form of Srimana Shiksha. And even going to intimate, confidential meditations, like meditating on the prayers for direct service to Srimati Radhika in poetries or scriptures like those by Srila Rupa Goswami for direct service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Sri Lapa Kusmanjali, asking for services to Srimati Radhika at the different times of the day. Also, we shared from Srila Gurudev's instructions and books about meditating on Krishna's pastimes while chanting. And we discussed particular pastimes, like the one he described when he was saying how a pure devotee may meditate like this while chanting. And then he talked about Uddhava's going to Vrindavan on the order of Krishna and seeing the grief and separation of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Baba, and then even higher grief, which is just another form of ecstasy of the gopis, and then his glorification of them. Often, when Srila Gurudev goes very high in pastimes and prayers, he ends his classes by saying, "But now begin from the beginning. I've given you," he would say, "what the goal is, and then we remember where we are and what we need to do now so that we can become qualified to do those meditations without being distracted or interrupted by mundane bringing down thoughts." Then he would say, "So let's begin at the beginning, that in order to chant the holy names according to the principles of how they need to be chanted for the greatest effect, Gurudev brought us to the attention of Upadeshamrit. That is, one must control his, the first verse, Vacho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, controlling the one who can control the urges of the tongue, the words, the belly, the anus, the genitals, the anger, and the mind, those forces, those pushings, those urges. He becomes qualified to make disciples all over the world. And of course, he becomes qualified to chant purely. Then the second verse, Achyahara Prayasascha, one should not overcollect not only money, but with any of the senses, with the eyes, with the ears, collecting unnecessarily, hearing prajalpa, hearing gossip, speaking criticism. One should achyahara prayasascha, prajalpa right there, niyama agraha, that is following the rules and regulations without knowing why, or just following them, or following them for some mundane reason. Greed for mundane achievements. So he stressed that in order to do those beautiful meditations and prayers, then these things require control. When I mentioned the other night that I was once going to give a class to the ISKCON devotees in Mayapur about the prayers of our acharyas in the songbooks. And at that time he told me that no matter what kind of prayers our acharyas are praying, like whether they're in humility, saying how wretched they are and how they need to be delivered, or whether they're asking for ecstatic symptoms, or whether they're asking for deliverance, asking for shelter of the lotus feet, asking for direct service to Radha and Krishna, whatever the prayers happen to be, welcome.
Hare Krishna.
Whatever the prayers happen to be, they're always for the same ultimate goal of becoming maidservant of Srimati Radhika. And he gave the example of the song Gopinath. Are you the very famous Vyasaki? Are you Vyasaki?
Vyasaki, what means?
Oh, you're from Russia.
No, from Italy.
Italy. What's your name?
Narada Shingadas.
Oh, I heard about you.
I met 2 days ago.
Yeah, nice to see you. So, where are we? Yes. Where are we? It's only dredging a half a minute.
The Mayapur explanation.
Thank you. So, he gave the example that in the song Gopinath, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is expressing great humility that my body is not free from the control of the material nature, that I'm controlled by lust and anger, and even though I'm the lowest, I'm asking for the highest thing. So Gurudev said, who is he praying to? He's praying to Gopinath, which means Krishna, whose master or whose nath is the gopis. And above and beyond that, he left all the gopis for his greatest master, Srimati Radhika. So really, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in all of his expressions of lowness, he's saying, is it your way, Krishna, that just because somebody is averse to you, you won't show mercy to them and give them the highest thing? So he's asking for service in the rasa dance. What kind of services do we want? Do the maidservants of Radharani also dance in the rasa dance? Srila Gurudev shared what kind of services they do. There's one prayer by Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur in his book called Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, where he prays that during the rasa dance, I will, if you give me your service, I will play the veena and sing so many songs. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami prays that when, during the rasa dance, taught by Vishakha Devi, will I sing so many beautiful tunes and please you in that way. And when, having learned by she who bears the nectar name of Ranga Devi, who is also one of the eight Sakis, when will I learn the art of dancing so that during the rasa dance, I'll be able to dance over to you and Krishna and give you betel nuts to make you even more, put betel nuts in your mouth to make you even more enthusiastic in your dancing. Similarly, Srila Gurudev tells about Raghunath Das Goswami, who in his form as a maidservant will, when in the middle of the rasa dance, Radharani's ankle bells become loosened and fly far away, which, if she didn't get her ankle bells back in a moment, Krishna would lose all her, his enthusiasm for playing his flute and the whole dance would stop. So, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, in his form as Rati Manjari, would very quickly dance over to that ankle bell, very quickly, so that nobody even knows what's happening, very quickly dance back and tie it back on Radharani's lotus foot so that she doesn't even miss a beat and the flute playing can go on and the ankle bell ringing can go on and the whole dance can go on. So, as I mentioned, generally when Srila Gurudev goes into high meditations, he always at some point in the class says, but now let's start from the beginning. So when I was giving this class, I was going to give the class to the ISKCON devotees in Mayapur, and Gurudev was telling me this about the goal of all of our acharya's songs is this becoming a maidservant of Srimati Radhika. Then he said, but don't tell this to neophyte devotees. Just tell them the 10 offenses to be avoided and the rules and regulations. Does everybody here know the 10 offenses? Does anybody here know the 10 offenses? Does anybody know 9 of the offenses? Okay, so we'll go over the 10 offenses. Because even those of us who want to do the prayers and meditations and remembrances while chanting the holy names, without which the chanting is incomplete anyway, we also ought to know the 10 offenses. Every time our Srila Prabhupada would perform an initiation, he would see if anybody knew the 10 offenses. And we didn't usually rate very well. So he would tell them. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees who've dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. And Gurudev said this means any devotee, even if he's not a pure devotee, what to speak of a pure devotee, but any devotee. Nam becomes displeased and goes away. Then, the second is to consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Krishna. Rather, they're not separate from him in the sense that they're all his parts and parcels, and they're not equal to him. So, to chant their names, Om Namo Shivaya, or any names of any demigods, This is actually an offense to the holy name of Krishna. Then the third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master and to consider him an ordinary mortal. His body is the abode of all the demigods and so much more. The Diksha Guru is a manifestation of the form of Krishna, and the Shiksha Guru is a manifestation of the nature of Krishna. And of course, Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru can be the same person. He's somebody's Diksha Guru and he's somebody's Shiksha Guru. So he's Krishna's personal associate. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that one should see the spiritual master either as a manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu or as an associate, intimate associate of Srimati Radhika. How can he be one or the other? Depending on whether we see by established philosophical truth, tattva, then he's a manifestation of Lord Nityananda, in the sense that Nityananda Prabhu is the complete principle of Guru, and our bona fide self-realized Gurudev is a manifestation of that principle. Then by ras, or by pastimes, he's an intimate associate of Srimati Radhika as her maidservant. So the offense there is to consider the spiritual master as an ordinary mortal and or to disobey his instructions, which includes trying to keep secrets from him. In France, Gurudev said, suppose you come to visit me and I say to you, how are you doing? And you say, just fine. Fine, no problems. Fine, yes, fine. No problems? No, no problems. You're not telling me that you actually have a girlfriend or two girlfriends. So this keeping the secret, thinking that if I tell Gurudev, he'll just mess up everything for me. Better to keep it hidden. So this, Gurudev said, it goes in like a needle and out like an atom bomb to destroy your bhakti. Rather, the guru should be like a bosom friend. Like he said, if you're in the shower and you're not wearing anything, maybe a little gumsha, you're not shy because there's nobody but you. So similarly, there's no need for shyness with Guru, because he's actually more intimate than our own Atma. Srila Gurudev said that once in his class in Australia. And then the next day I said to him, I don't really see you like that. I see you that whenever I see you, I'm just feeling guilty that I'm not serving you nicely. So he said, yes, that's why I said that, so you'd all know. So considering Guru as an ordinary mortal, that he doesn't know everything that's going on, that he's not seeing me and knowing everything that I'm doing, and disobeying his order. Then the fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures, or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, or to disobey the instructions of the scriptures. These are all taken by Nam as an offense to Nam. Nam is the conclusion of all the Vedas. Do you all know that prayer in the Mangalacharna section of the songbook? Madhura madhura metam mangalam mangalanam sakala nigama bali chatpalam chitswarupam Sakudata parigitam shradaya helaya va prigovaranaramatram taraya krishnana. English? Sita?
Shri Hari Ram is the sweetest of all sweet things and the most auspicious of all auspicious things. It's the fully ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedas. And if one, oh best of the Bhrigu dynasty, if one chants this name even once, be it with faith or contempt, then he ultimately attains liberation.
Thank you, very good. So, it's the fruit, the conclusion of all the Vedas. And, interestingly enough, all the Vedic literatures, that includes, it includes all the Goswami's literatures, all those rasic literatures, it includes Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasayan, everything is included in Nam. Then, the fifth offense is to consider the glories of the holy name as imagination. Just like what I just said, if you're thinking, come on, it's impossible. That's an offense to the holy name. Then the sixth offense is to give some interpretation, imaginary interpretation of the holy name. Like, for example, God ultimately has no form. So the form of God is actually imaginary, and therefore the name of God is actually imaginary. Like that. That would be an imagined interpretation, which is an offense. When the very proud Balabhacharya was conversing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and challenging him that, do you know the meanings of the holy name? And he gave some expanded intellectual meaning. And Mahaprabhu said, I only know two meanings of the holy name. That he's Jashodananda and that he plays his flute. In other words, the personal form of Krishna. I think you remember the example we gave last night from Srila Gurudev, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached his Gurudev Ishwara Puripad and said, what is this mantra that you've given me? I was in the midst of chanting, and all of a sudden, the name turned into a beautiful boy with the complexion of a fresh rain cloud. And he was playing his flute, and he had a peacock feather in his hair. And I went to embrace him, but he started moving backwards in a zigzag way so that I couldn't reach him. Then I decided I'm running very fast and I'll surely embrace him. And then he disappeared. And then I found myself rolling on the ground, weeping and calling out, Krishna, where are you? Where are you? So his Gurudev was very happy with him. And he told him he'd reached the perfection of the holy name. And then his Gurudev quoted that verse that Gurudev said that he was chanting, which we discussed last night, while he was walking on the beach in Italy. Anybody remember that verse? Evam vritam svapriya nama kritya jatanuraga jita citta muchaya Asya titi rauditi roti gayan tyun madhavan rityati lokabhaya. The pure devotee always loudly chants the holy name of the Lord according to his relationship with him. Sometimes he's laughing when he sees the Lord, and when the Lord disappears, he's crying while he's chanting. And he's dancing just like a madman without caring for the opinion of outsiders. And Gurudev was particularly referring to the gopis in this regard. So, the holy name is actually Krishna and Amala Harinam, Amayavilas, all the pastimes of Krishna and all of his associates are within the holy name. Then the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy names. That is, it's okay that I commit this sin, because if I chant, I will just wipe out the results of my sin. Forgetting, well, thinking that the nam is a mechanical thing that wipes out sins if you keep doing them, without considering that nam is a person, and he doesn't appreciate being used in that way, so he leaves. So committing sin on the strength of chanting. Nam nad balad jashahi papabuddhi. Prabhupada said this is one of the greatest of offenses to the holy name, trying to take advantage of the holy name. Then the eighth offense is to consider the chanting equal to some material pious activity. Like if I chant, it's as good as doing some rituals or sacrifice, and then I'll get to go to the heavenly planets, or I'll achieve vast wealth, because that's what piety would do for me. It would give me vast wealth and a good birth, my next birth, and heavenly planets. So this is also an offense, because those results are like an atom of the chanting. Then the ninth offense is to preach the glories of the Lord to the faithless. Then why does Srila Gurudev and Prabhupada and all of our acharyas always urge us to preach the glories of the holy name and distribute the books about the glories of the holy name, to go to universities and give classes on the holy name, trying to get everyone to chant? So the answer is that appealing to others to chant is good, but to preach to the faithless the glories of the holy name that are esoteric, that they might argue with, and then to waste a lot of time in arguing. Srila Prabhupada said that the time it takes to waste speaking to someone who's not interested, or who, every time you say something about the glories of the holy name, he'll come back with something nasty about the holy name, or some argument. The time that it takes you to do that, Prabhupada said you could be preaching Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sudarshan Prabhu Kijai, Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ji Kijai, Shri Satchinandan Gaura Hari Kijai, Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. What does Jai mean?
Victory.
Huh?
Victory.
Victory, but? The long version? Arun?
The victory of the...
Loud?
The victory for attaining our devotion.
Victory over what?
Our devotion. So
victory over? Who's the defeated party that we want to be defeated? Our envy, greed, pride, lust, anger. Please be victorious over those enemies. Please completely control them, and please make me yours. The longer version of the one word victory. So where were we? If we can dredge our memory for 2 minutes.
Srila Prabhupada explained to you the time you take to...
The time it takes to try to convince an uninterested or offensive person. Faithless means not innocent. It doesn't mean all the atheists that we meet, but it means those who will have no faith in what you say, and he'll argue. So in that time, you can convince so many innocent people. So go where the reception is good. And then the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, and to maintain material attachments, in spite of hearing so many instructions about the chanting and the glories of the holy name. Or, and I think it's Bhakti Rasayan, Srila Gurudev writes that to not have love for the holy name, despite hearing so many instructions in the matter. So that's also an offense. How can I tell if I'm offensive? It's stated in the Harinam Mahamantra book and other shastras, this verse is quoted, that if while chanting one's hairs are not standing up in ecstasy and one is not weeping in ecstasy, one can know that this is due to great offenses. So we can immediately judge ourselves. So those are the 10 offenses to avoid while chanting. Then there are 5 stages in chanting. Today is the number day. 10 offenses, 5 stages. Generally, Srila Gurudev talks about the 5 stages of chanting the Gayatri Mantra. But he said this also applies to chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. The first stage is called Mantra Art Chintan, which means meditating on the meaning of the mantra and who is the Ishtadev or the worshipful deity of the mantra. The meaning of the mantra, as we discussed the first night, Srila Prabhupada, in a very simple way, the devotee is praying, having forgotten you, I've fallen to this material world and I'm transmigrating and suffering. Please pick me up and engage me in your spiritual energy so that I can be happy. Or please engage me when the guest asked Prabhupada, why the repetition? Prabhupada said, that is love. Please engage me, please engage me, please engage me in your service. And then so many expanded versions of that, all the songs in our songbook, all the Mangalacharana prayers, all the other prayers of our acharyas, like Sharanagati and so on, Manashiksha prayers, Shikshastakam prayers, Bhakti Rasayan prayers, Bhajan Rahasya prayers, Venugita prayers, Gopiki prayers, Brahmagi prayers, Vilakus Manjali prayers, Gitamala prayers, all those are the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. And mantra is not only a prayer, but it's the actual persons. That's why when we're chanting purely, those persons with all their pastimes manifest. And then we can understand. Now, we're not understanding, I can't say we, I can say I. I'm not understanding anything when I chant. I might have mentioned that the first time that I met Srila Gurudev, I told him that I'm preaching around the world for our Srila Prabhupada, and I have intellectual understanding of philosophy that I'm preaching. And philosophy of preaching includes the holy name, the philosophy of the holy name, as we've been discussing the past nights. But I have no experiential knowledge, no realization. So what to do? So Gurudev, I thought he was going to say, intellectual understanding is no not full understanding, but he said it's no understanding. Like for example, he said, we hear about, let's take the verse, Yasha, Visanti's going to sing it. Yasha kadapi vasalanchana, she'll sing it loudly. Yasha kadapi vasanachala kela nota, danyati danya pavanena kritartamani, yogindra. Durga Magati Madhusudanopi Yasya Tasya Namostu Vrishabhanudishe Prabhodishepi. Meaning, I offer my obeisances, Vasanti loud. Can everybody hear her? Ravi can't hear you. Again, from the beginning.
I have my obeisances to the direction of the land, the direction of Rishabhana Maharaj's house, where even Sri Krishna.
Krishna, who is the.
Not even a saint. Rarely attained by the great yogis.
Greatest yogis,
greatest
like
yogis.
Brahma and Shiva. But who, when the heir took Radharani's veil, and what did it do with it? What did it do with the air? The breeze. The gentle breeze. From Radharani's veil, because Radharani was refusing to speak with Krishna. And she was on one side of Radhakund and he was on the other. And he was lamenting that I'm about to die because Radharani's displeased with me. So the heir wanted to do some service. So the heir went under her veil and took her fragrance and by the gentle breeze went over to the other side of Radhakund and went under Krishna's nostrils. And then Krishna thought, oh, I have regained my life. Now my life is successful. So therefore I offer my obeisances to the direction of that land where she is. So he said, if you hear that, then you'll think, oh yeah, I know what that's like. I used to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. We used to walk through the forest, or we used to be mad at each other and then make up. I got it. So that's no understanding, because I'm trying to understand with my material intelligence, my material experience. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Vasanti Navaved Graya Mindriyai Sevan Mukheji Vado Svayam Eva Sparatyada. No one can understand the transcendental name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Lord with his material senses. So, if one has the Lord reveal himself in a vision, then he can understand. And that comes at Bhava Bhakti. So it's not an ordinary thing to be able to understand the Lord or his holy name. Why did I tell that story?
Because you said intellectual understanding of
Shastras. There's no understanding. Thank you. Intellectual understanding is no understanding. So, what is the meaning of the mantra? Who is the Istadev? Contemplating that and praying that it can be a reality. Because the mantra is non-different from them. And they reveal themselves when we reach very high states like asakti and bhav. But until that time, we have no choice but to do it intellectually. Say the prayers intellectually and pray to the author of the prayer. Please make your prayer my prayer. Please make your words and my heart one. So mantra archintan is the first stage of chanting. Considering, thinking, who's the predominating deities of this mantra? What are their qualities? What are their pastimes? What are they like? And what is the meaning of the mantra? And third, there are three subsections of that first stage. Third thing is, what is my relationship with them? And then there are so many prayers for realizing that relationship. once went to visit Srila Prabhupada in New Jersey, and one of his, he had three personal servants at that time, and one of them was my god sister, Govindadasi. So I asked Govindadasi to, next time she would go into Prabhupada's room, to tell him that I'm feeling bad and discouraged because I'm thinking that because I'm a girl, I was 19 at the time, because I'm a girl, I can't make as much advancement as the boys. You know how we misinterpret scripture in that way. So then when she came out of the room, she said that Prabhupada said, well, plus the boys like to tell us that we can't make advancement as much as them. So when she came out of the room, she said that Prabhupada replied, yes, if you think you're a girl, how can you make any advancement? So even intellectually, thinking, what is my relationship with them and who am I? So that's the first stage of chanting, mantra or chintan. The second stage is called nyas, or what are the rules and regulations of chanting? For chanting the Gayatri Mantra, there's so many rules and regulations. Face this way, only at these times of the day, try to be clean. But for chanting the Maha Mantra, there's no rules and regulations except to avoid the 10 offenses and give up sense gratification. But even without that, even without giving up sense gratification, fully, if I'm trying and I'm praying, then I can make tangible advancement. Tangible to a minute degree. When I give up sense gratification, by the mercy of the Holy Name, by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas, then I can advance tangibly. Then the third stage in chanting is called prapati. Prapati means acceptance, that there's no existence outside the mantra, which, although it is the stage of Sharanagati, it's not even bhakti, pure bhakti yet, it's very, very high to accept that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, there's nothing outside of it. When I see a whole room of people, a whole city, an ocean, and the mantra is just this little thing. So therefore, prapati is the acceptance of that everything is within the Holy Name. All the universes are within the Holy Name. All the spiritual worlds, Vaikuntha planets, are within the Holy Name. Why? Because everything is within Krishna, and he's not different from his holy name. And within that acceptance, I'm considering. So while chanting especially, I don't need to think of anything else, because there is nothing else. I don't need to worry about money. I don't need to worry that somebody insulted me, how am I going to get back at them, or I have any problem. Srila Gurudev said we have a tendency to solve a very small problem by looking for an atom bomb. Oh, a mosquito is coming, a fly is there. Let me become so fully absorbed in getting back at that fly or mosquito that I might as well just get an atom bomb. In other words, making a mountain out of a molehill. So prapati means the acceptance. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadraji Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Damodarji Ki Jai. The acceptance that there is no existence outside the Holy Name or outside the Gayatri Mantra. And therefore there's no need to try to protect myself, maintain myself, worry about anything, take revenge about anything. While chanting, just know that everything will be solved by the chanting. For those of you who were not here on the first night that we talked about the glories of Nam in relation to Srila Haridas Thakur and his chanting, I'll share with you again that Srila Gurudev said that if you're chanting purely, then he said, and we have got personal experience of that, whatever you say will come true. Like Narada Muni can say to somebody, you should die. And if somebody's already dead, he can say to them, you should come back to life. Like he did with the dead son of King Chitraketu. Or he can curse Nalakuvera and Manigriva, you should become trees. So Gurudev said, I have personal experience of that. One time I was chanting, and I was thinking, if my chanting is pure, then this thing should happen. And it happened. Immediately it happened. So no need to look outside. That's the third stage. Then the fourth stage of chanting is called Sharanagati. Prapati is also Sharanagati, but it's the general acceptance. And then the fourth stage, Sharanagati, which in and of itself includes six stages, today's the number day, includes six limbs of Sharanagati. That is the six ways of acting on the principle of prapati, of acceptance, that there's nothing in existence outside the name. First is avoiding, accepting everything favorable for chanting. Like if I go to the movies, a karmi movie, that's not going to be favorable for good chanting because then I'll think of the movie while I'm chanting. So accepting everything favorable for chanting, rejecting everything unfavorable. Very unfavorable for chanting. Did you hear what happened with so-and-so? He's so-and-so. He's such and such. Don't tell anybody, but this is very unfavorable for chanting the holy name. Why? Because all of our devotional service goes in the garbage and the holy name goes away. And we get the qualities that we were thinking about, the bad qualities. So, accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable, thinking that Krishna is my only maintainer and my only protector, and acting in that way, and thinking myself most fallen so that Krishna will have to take care of me, protect me, give me his attention because I'm humble, and then offering my, making my desires one with Krishna's desires, with Guru's desires. Krishna, Guru is nothing but a manifestation of Krishna. But first comes Guru. Srila Gurudev was just reading the other day. No, I was just hearing on my iPod the other day. Gurudev was saying that we want to remember Srimati Radhika and glorify her and pray to her. But in order for her to accept our prayers while chanting and while just praying, first I have to pray to Lalita and Vishakha and the other eight sakis. For them to accept my prayers, they'll be pleased if I first pray to their assistants, like Rupa Manjari, and there's and so many assistants. For them to be pleased, I have to pray to the Vaishnavas, and for them to be pleased, I have to first pray to and please my Gurudev by my prayers. So the sixth stage of Sharanagati, which is the fourth of the fifth stages of chanting Nam, or chanting the Gayatri Mantra. So for all of those of you who have Diksha, you can apply it to that as well. Is making my desire one with the desire of Guru and Krishna. And then the fifth stage, so that's six in one of Sharanagati, that's the fourth stage. Then the fifth stage of chanting is to make my heart one with the personalities in the mantra. And the example of that is who? Who became one with their mantras? gopis in Venu Geet, they're in their homes. I'm sure you all remember the Gopi Geet painting, Gopi Geet poster, right? You all know that, if you can picture it now. Where are the gopis? Of course, you'll say they're hiding behind the trees. But actually, the gopis are in their homes. And that's where they are uttering their Gopi Geet prayers and weeping. Hmm? I'm sorry, what did I say? Gopi Geet? Venu Geet. They're in their homes, and they're embracing one another and stuttering and praying with faltering voices. How every creature and every person in Vrindavan is more fortunate than them, because they all get to be out in the forest with Krishna, including the deers and the parrots, the rivers, and the gopis. We're the only ones who are unfortunate, because we're attached to being righteous household ladies, household girls. But because they were so absorbed in their lamentation of separation, and absorbed and seeing Krishna with all of his other associates, human and non-human, with the eyes of their emotions from their hearts, they became one with what they were singing and where they were singing about. And so they end up in the picture. The picture, the Gopi Geet painting, is actually sort of a sum total, more or less, of all the verses in the Venu Geet. So then the gopis ended up there because they became one with what they were singing. And that is the fifth stage of chanting the mantra. So we actually enter into the Hare Krishna mantra and become the associates in there. So I'll ask if there's any questions or comments at this time. There's one more class. I'll be giving one more class, that's tomorrow, also on Nam. And then starting the day after that, which is the 31st, me and a lot of other Western devotees are going over to Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, which is about a 12-minute auto rickshaw ride. Generally his classes are at 8, I'm not exactly sure what time they'll be here, where we'll be hearing the classes of Srila Bharati Maharaj, who is a very dear friend of Srila Gurudev and our Srila Prabhupada, and many of us consider it to be a pure devotee. So hearing his classes are very potent. Like when I give a class, me, Shamarani Dasi, there's three kinds of preachers. One, Srila Gurudev explained, one kind of preacher gives words, one kind of preacher gives a shadow of reality, and one kind of preacher gives reality. So, gives words means he has no realization, he's just combining syllables and hoping they make sense, intellectual sense to everybody, and that's, I'm an example of that. And then a Raghunuga Bhakta, who's really following, he's like in Asakti or Bhava Bhakti. He's still a sadhak, but he's getting visions of the Lord in his pastimes. Like Raghunath Das Goswami played the role of that in Vallabh Kasmanjali, as we discussed last night. And then, from hearing a preacher who's on that level, he'll get a shadow of the reality. But hearing the preaching of a pure devotee who's an associate of the Lord, he'll get a seed of the reality, because the devotee who's speaking is realizing what he's saying, and Krishna himself is speaking through that devotee. So many of us consider that Srila Bharati Maharaj is like that, so we're going to his class. Several devotees, you see new Westerners here, like Jamuna and others, they just came from Vrindavan to hear his classes for some days. So anybody's welcome to come. The Santa will have more detailed information as it gets closer to that day. So I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Yes, Jay.
How do we leave behind the bodily way of thinking, I am a man?
The what way?
The bodily conscious, I am a man or I am a woman way of thinking. How do we leave that?
By replacement. Rather than, I can't think like that, I shouldn't think like that, let me kick it out. If I'm putting in impressions, because why do I think I'm this body, and I'm Chaitanya Shakti Dasi, and I'm 20 years old, and I'm really from Badger and all that? Because of many, many activities, and many, many thoughts, and many, many years of that, and many, many lifetimes of thinking that I'm this body. Now I'm a giraffe, now I'm a snail. And so, by impressions from the beginning of time, we're habituated to think like that. Sanskars. So similarly, by putting impressions of my real identity, by praying all the prayers that we've been discussing in the last days and that you've been hearing for years from Srila Gurudeva and the books, and song books, and then, like, for example, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has a song, "When will I think that I'm a Palyadasi?" Or Bhakti Vinod Thakur in our songbook, "When will I think that I'm a Palyadasi?" What's that song? Palyadasi Kori. So when will Lalita, the beautiful Lalita, come and bring me to engage in the service of Radharani? When will Ananga Manjari take my hand and engage me in the service of Radharani? You have the song there, Madhumati? Can you read it out loud? Palyadasi Kori, P, at the end of the book. Lalita Sundari. It's not in the black book? 94? Yeah, read it in English out loud.
When will beautiful Lalita foster me as her aspiring maidservant? Then later, she will offer me up unto the lotus feet of Sri Radhika and will place me entirely at her disposal for rendering various services according to her order. When will Sri Rupa Manjari take me with her to the banks of Sri Radhakund to learn Rasa Seva, how to stimulate romantic moods? I will live there under her guidance and pass my time feeling great delight within my heart. At the lotus feet of Sri Vishaka, I will learn music and songs, which are all abounding in the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. All of the other Sakis in our group, including Sri Rati Manjari and Sri Rasa Manjari, will also deal most affectionately with me. Feeling supreme bliss, we will all meet together and stay at the lotus feet of Sri Radhika. When, oh when, will I achieve this topmost perfection whereby I will receive the intoxicating honey flowing from the lotus feet of Sri Radha?
Thank you. So songs like this create impressions. Songs of humility, all the songs of the our Vaishnava Acharyas, because their aim is that they put in new impressions. And every drop of water withers away the stone. So we've been discussing the glories of the Maha Mantra, and Maha Mantra himself has just arrived.
We will.
Welcome. Any other questions? Comments. Okay, so then we'll end here, and one more night of non-tattva, non-mahima. Oh, tomorrow is the appearance day of disappearance day of Ramchandra Kaviraj, who is the brother of Govindadas Kaviraj, who wrote very beautiful songs that some are in our songbook. And Gurudev tells a wonderful story about how he became a pure devotee. And it's also the appearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of our six personalities who we want to take shelter of and take their remnants. So we'll be discussing them tomorrow as well. So, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Hari Namaha Mantra Ki Jai. Any, yes? Huh?
Sorry.
Any bhajan?
Oh yeah, I request this Prabhu to do Bodo Sukhoi cover play.
Which Prabhu?
Just give me.
Mahamantra knows that song?
Bodo Sukhoi cover
play. You want me to sing?
Yes, yes.
Whatever.
Do you know that song? How to read it? You've heard him sing it before?
Yeah, I've heard him sing it before. Oh. It's like so
wonderful. Oh, wonderful, okay.
Thank you.
Babaji Maharaj ki jai, Rupa Nuga Guru Varga ki jai, Shri Gauri Vedanta Charja, Shila Baladeva Vajibhusam Prabhu ki jai, Shri Viswanath Shankarbhari Thakur ki jai, Shri Naratam Shri Neva Shamananda Prabhu Chaya ki jai, Shri Krishnadas Kavaraj Goswami Prabhu ki jai, Shri Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Shri Jeeva Gopala Bhatta Das Raghunath Sai Goswami Prabhu ki jai, Namacharja Shila Bhridas Thakur ki jai, Shri Sarup Damodara Ramanandari Shri Goa Parshavindi Kijaya Prem Sigho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Bhaktivindi Kijaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopi 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 Dandwara Samanamaka Shri Vrachmanaya Dhamma Kijaya Shri Harinam Sankirtan Kijaya Samadhi Bhaktivindi Kijaya Gopinandi Om Vrindaye Tulasi Deva Priyaye Keshava Shacha Krishna Bhakti Pray Devi Sacha Vachaya Namo Namah Panchakalpataruvyascha Upasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Dhanyavad Dhanyavad